could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good Thursday morning. I was thinking as I was coming down the steps today, what is this show morphing into? You know, I remember when I started this thing, this show was kind of an issues oriented from a Christian perspective. The world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. What are we going to do about it? That's where we started 5 years ago. And I just been, man, my email continues to, I don't want to say the word blow up because it's not that bad, but you guys are peppering my email with stories of victory over little sins. It's been amazing to my heart. Really, it's been amazing to my heart. And I'm talking about just little, hey, again, day nine, I haven't had any sugar. Not knowingly, in other words, I haven't gone to the cookie jar. Yesterday, after our grandson had his first little t-ball practice, and I went to his t-ball practice, and afterwards, take all six of our grandkids to the favorite ice cream store right there. I didn't have any ice cream. And you know what? I really wasn't even tempted to do it. They were having fun all eating it. You know, it's all over their face and everything, wanting to give Grampy a bite. And I'm getting victory over that sugar demon. You understand? Sometimes we want to fight these. We want to take on Goliath right away, don't we? We want to go out and knock down some giant. We can't even get the little dogs nipping at our heels. We can't even do that. To put a guy into the weight room, when I was coaching football, we would kind of divide our guys into what we called strength groups. Yeah, strength groups. We lifted every day after practice. I'm sorry, 3 days a week after practice. We lifted 4 days a week during the season, and we put our guys in strength groups. And what did we mean by strength groups? Well, the guys who could only handle maybe a 100-pound squat, and there were a lot of young guys that, they were freshmen, sophomores, they're just getting going. They could only squat 100, 150 pounds. We put them in the group together. And they brought each other along doing their 150 squats and doing great. And then we had a 200 group, and then we had a 300. You understand what I'm doing? I understand what I'm not doing, but what we were doing, we were grouping them according to where their strength is. And one of the problems that I believe we run into in Christianity is we put everybody in the same group. We don't set it up so men can walk shoulder to shoulder and side by side in the area where they're strongest or where the area where they're weakest. And if we do that, for physical training, then why aren't we doing it for spiritual training? Listen, I'm going to tell you this. Most of you got no business going out with Russ Dizdar. I don't even know if I do. Why? I'm squatting 150. He's squatting 350. Now, if I want to go along and he can show me and train me and see the technique, how he does it, that's one thing. But man, oh man, to throw me in the midst of the lion's den with a lion, I ain't ready for that yet. Anybody ready for that yet? Nobody's ready for that. And yet we're fighting this spiritual war, this battle for truth, justice, and the American way. And we can't even do a 50-pound curl. We can't even do that. We brush it off because we have nobody to walk that walk with us. And so I continue just to tell all of you how much your emails encourage me. And I'm not saying this for you to send me more emails. I want you, see, the Bible tells us this, that they overcame him, that would be the evil one, I believe, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their own lives, even to the point of death. See, you got to tell somebody. Your testimony is power to somebody else. You don't get it. I'm going to tell on Jim. Jim sent me an email yesterday telling Coach, I can't believe it, man. It's been this long, and I haven't done this, and I haven't done that. And it's a victory. Amen, Jim. Amen. And amen to more of you out there. What's the little thing? See, I'm going to move from sugar. I don't know what's next, but I'm moving to something next. Because now I know I can do it. But if all of a sudden, hear me, if all of a sudden I want to jump up in the middle of the morning and say, that's it, no more porn. Well, good luck. That ain't sugar. That's a little tougher sin, man. That's a little tougher carnality than just eating a little bit of sugar, although not true. And how many of you right now, listen to me, right now, are burdened by gluttony? You can't stop eating. And you think you're going to take on some of the bit larger demons of the world, and you can't even control what you put in your mouth? Really? I'm not trying to chastise you. I'm just trying to be real with you, man. We've got to get victory over some of these things. So the point I started out, I'm going to move on. The point I was making when the show started, this used to be an issue. We'd talk about Trump. We would talk about everything going. And now all of a sudden, trying to get the team in shape, you know? Folks, We just put a transgender in the second highest health position in America. A man dressing as a woman. By the way, Jack, Susan Collins, there she was, right there is our girl. All the Republicans voted against her since, you know who, right? Susan Collins and the girl from Alaska. What's her name? You know who she is. We have a, folks, cross-dressers are sick. They're sick. They're either sick or demonically oppressed or both. But there's nobody in their right mind, I don't think, who would send your child to a teacher who is transgendered. I don't think we're there yet. Maybe we are. I don't think we are. Yet we're the second highest office, medical office in the land. We now have a man dressing as a woman. And the rest of us acting like there's nothing wrong. It's incredibly unbelievable. You could have never, that sound you hear is my mom and dad in conjunction rolling over in their graves, right? I mean, I don't even think they're talking to each other, mom and dad, anymore. But if they were, that would be a unified rollover. And we act like it's normal. And why? There's a lot of reasons. Myra, I see you want to jump in here real quick, sweetheart. Come on in.
Good morning. Thanks. How are you? I just want to say what a blessing it is for me to listen to your show and to hear all the brothers and sisters. I continue to do the 12-hour fast.
Yeah, thank you.
So I appreciate that. Thank you.
It's life-changing. This, I told my wife, well, my wife told me. This show's life changing. This ain't like listening to Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or some video you sit down and watch for 45 minutes by yourself. This thing's life changing. It's life changing because of you, participation of you. So I'm going to take just a minute here. Anybody want to testify this morning? Because remember, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and love not your own life, even to the point of death. Anybody want to brag a little bit on what the Holy Spirit's been enabling you to do over the last couple days, and we've been getting victory over this stuff? I'll wait a minute, see if I throws her hand up. This is your chance to brag. Come on in, Brett.
Hey, Coach. Well, you inspired me with my gluttony. Uh-huh. 3-day fast, and then I'll start now. Now the test really starts.
Amen.
The 3-day fast was only just a little coffee and water. So now the test real starts.
Well, now you know you can do it, can't, don't you, Brett? So now you're going to roll back into that old carnal habit that you had before and just keep eating and eating and eating and eating. Or we're going to become conscious of what we put in our mouth. That's really what we're talking about, isn't it?
Yep. Really? Got a bench press 145 on the way to 225 on the way to 300 club.
That's it. You know it. That's how it works, right? 300 club. Get you into 300 club. Rochelle, come on in, dear.
Well, I'm on day 10. So that's good, but that really wasn't what I came on to testify about. I was inspired, I guess, to offer to host I don't like to say the word Easter, but that's what everybody knows it as. So I've invited my dad, who we've been on Rocky Road for a while, my brother and his family and my mom and her. you know, everybody over and I'm going to do a presentation on how Psalm 22 relates to what Jesus did for us on the cross. And that's kind of stepping out for me. I really don't like to, you know, be the hostess and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But everybody, it was a huge response. I mean, people got back to me and like, I texted them with the idea and I heard back from everybody in like within 5 minutes. So people are really ready to hear some, I guess, some deep stuff.
Amen. Amen. They're looking for solutions, looking for answers, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Conquer that, face that fear. I wrote about that today. I don't know if I'll get around to it or not. Anybody else? Anybody? Come on. Somebody went, Betty, come on in, Betty. Anybody else want to testify? Go ahead.
Good morning. I'm not one to really brag, but I've been helping out. I cleaned out my closet since sent about 7 bags of clothes, even clothes that had tags on them that I couldn't believe that I even had, to the youth group in Wheeling, West Virginia, the homeless youth, and just been helping some folks with some of their needs. And
amen.
That's about all I'll say financially. So
good.
That's a good thing some days. You know, it makes you feel super that you can help someone out.
Not only Betty, what about the fact that you give victory over that spirit of hoarding? How many of you have that spirit, man? You just keep stuff and you don't even know why you keep it, man. It's everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And you we sit there and we say, well, I'm going to sell that. I can get $5 out of it. And you never do. You never do. And it just, my wife is getting, if you saw my desk over here, people send me stuff. God bless you. Thank you for sending me stuff.
When are you going to turn it up?
Go ahead.
I would rather give to it than sell it. To me, that means more.
Yeah.
It's more joyous to see the smile on someone's face because they got something, even if it's used, because they can't afford it. It's just, it's awesome.
It's like my buddy Norm used to tell me. Coach Norm was a young guy, young high school kid. He helped a moving company. And he said the guy who ran the moving company told them when they were moving people's belongings, he told them to be especially careful with everybody's belongings. Because he said, listen, even though it may look like junk to you, it means the world to them. I thought, boy, is that it, isn't it? May look like you, or may look like junk to you, but it means the world to them. Anybody else? We'll move on. Just one chance to brag on the Lord, what the Lord's doing in your heart. You know, also, my wife said to me last night, she was jabbering before we went to sleep last night. And she said, how come it's the same? She said it in a nice way. She says, why it's the same? Why is it the same people speaking over and over and over on the queue? And I said, I don't know. Those are the ones who raise their hands. She says, well, you ought to try to get some of these other people out there to talk. They probably, a lot of people probably got some great stuff to say and they're not saying it. I said, well, honey, what do you want me to do? So maybe I'm going to have a show tomorrow where we just say new people only. Get some other people to talk. Come on in, Emma. Emma's unmuting. Bear with her a second there. I know Amazon's daggone phones. There you go, sweetie.
I recognized that I had some idols in my life.
Wow.
And it really shocked me, but I was able to recognize the Lord put a distance between me and a person that I was going to idolize. And he is, he's my grandson, and he's a lot like my son. And so I realized that distance the Lord had put between us. And I'm so thankful because we never, never, never need any idols. God is enough.
Amen. 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 Emma, let me go a different direction on this because this is what the Lord spoke to me yesterday when I took my six-year-old, I think he's six, grandson to his first T-ball practice. I was watching him play out there and I'm thinking his grandpa, my grandson David's grandpa is an accomplished coach. Why am I not spending more time coaching my grandson? Can somebody explain that to me? Why I'm not spending more time doing that? Why I don't have him out every day throwing balls with him, teaching him the field and teaching the technique? Why am I not doing that? Is it because I've got my priorities wrong?
I'd say you got them right.
Well, thanks, man. But you get my point, right? We put our time into what we value.
Yeah.
We do. We put our time into what we value. So we need to ask ourselves, Lord, why is that so important to me? And why is this not important to me? And
actually, Dave, sorry, Dave.
Go ahead, Chad.
Sorry, I didn't raise my hand or anything.
You're acting like Roger.
The sports, and those kind of things are a small window in your life.
Mm-hmm.
A small window. Now, they do teach things going on, but teaching them to be a good man or a good woman, that is invaluable. Those kind of things. All those life skills, not just putting together, how to assemble something or whatever. It's the life skills, how to manage a checkbook, kind of things.
Amen.
How to know what a good deal is and all this other stuff. These things, that's really what matters to me,
So, Chad, I didn't tell Michelle this. So I took David to practice because Abby, our daughter, is coaching her daughter's team. So they both had practice last night. And I took my grandson to T-ball. T-ball, he's a little guy, right? T-ball. And I got his little bag out and put his bag over his shoulder and his bat sticking up the top of it and all that stuff his mom had set up for him. And I got him out of the car and I got down on one knee in front of him. I said, David, listen, you listen to your coach. You do what your coach tells you to do. You encourage your teammates and you learn to play with other people and try to make your team work together. Do you understand that, David? That's what you're supposed to go do today? And he says, yeah, Grampy. And so it's those opportunities to really teach the value, what's important. I didn't say go have fun, although I wanted to have fun, but helping to understand those strong values at a very young age are really, really important. Because if he'll learn to listen to his coach, then he can learn to listen to his parents. And he can learn to listen to the Lord. Got to do it. Dale, Larry, then Mark. Go ahead, real quick.
The thing you said about time, the scripture says this: where a man's heart is, mm-hmm. there his treasure is also.
Amen.
So our hearts are going to follow those things which we value. What do we treasure? It's not necessarily monetary, but like you're saying with the baseball, with that, do we value our family? Then we'll invest our time into our family.
That's it, buddy. That's where it is. Larry, then Mark. Or Mark, then Larry. Mark, come on in, Mark.
Oh, keep going, Coach. I'm good. I was going to comment, though, on somehow I've been to churches, and I'm just listening to all the testimonies. Okay. Over last week.
Somebody said, Bebe could use some water, probably.
Emma, I think we can hear you, sweetheart. I think, there you go. She's bleeding through. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. So what you've done somehow in your way, Coach, is you have taught us we've been taught you must repent our whole life in church. Somehow another step that you took us through, everyone realizes now what repentance is, the joy of repentance, the closeness we can have with the Lord, the time we have to spend on the Lord. I mean, somehow you did that. Pastors are not teachers. They're not coaches. Now you've taught us how to do this.
Amen.
I'm just saying, Coach, I'm here with everyone, and I think it's a blessing. I think we've all done things we're not talking about because we've learned here. And at some point, I pray God gives us the boldness to release that and confess that, let go of those cords in Jesus' name.
Amen, Mark. I appreciate it. It's the Holy Spirit, brother. I appreciate it. We just need some more boldness, man. I'll go there in a second, Lord. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to say you have emphasized to us over these last 5 years that there's a balance in the word. There's a balance in life, et cetera, et cetera. And trying to analyze what part of your life you should spend time on and everything like that. When you're doing the analyzing, you're walking in your own understanding. Mm. We need to learn. And I, more than anyone, we need to learn to listen for direction from the Holy Spirit and trust that he will bring about the balance that we need instead of us trying to figure out the balance.
Amen. We get in trouble when we try to overanalyze, right? Although the scripture does say to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity, which is, again, coming back to our carnal nature. I got a million things I want to talk about today. Million. But I want today, when we're done, I want you to be encouraged, okay? And so I want to read what I wrote this week. I want to read it because I think there's some really important things in it. I hope you guys know that when I write these things, I write these as conversation starters. And I write these because the reaction I get off of the internet from people is, do you have any idea how shallow some people are walking in their Christianity? It's amazing. And do you know they don't want to really? They're not really challenged in their faith. So I wrote this today, death by fear. So bear with me a second. There's nothing wrong with being afraid, but hey, Joe, maybe you could read it, Joe. Your voice is better than mine. Is he in here today? I haven't heard his mellow tones today. Come on, Joe. I didn't give him the opportunity to belly up to the bar yet. There's nothing wrong with being afraid, but there's something very wrong with staying afraid. Silver, you listening, man? All right, here he comes. He's back here getting something to eat, probably. It's up on the screen there, Silver. Nobody can read it like you can, if you will, because I want to really emphasize a couple things here. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. All right.
Death by fear is what I called it, Joe.
Death by fear. There is nothing wrong with being afraid, but there is something very wrong with staying afraid. That is a line I always used when coaching our football teams. It was not unusual for a young man to find himself face to face with a fearsome opponent where his courage was being tested. Figure out a way to get the job done. If you don't stand up to him, it is going to be a long, fearful night. Find a weakness and bore in on it. Man up. Develop some courage. Courage is no longer a characteristic of emblematic. Courage is no longer a characteristic emblematic of Christianity. Compromise and capitulation have replaced it. In fact, courageous Christians have become the exception rather than the rule. Finding a man who will not bend to the wind of the cancel culture is a rare quality these days. Look at our public servants, especially those in D.C. I can count on one hand the number of Republicans who stood for what they claim to believe. Quote, reaching across the aisle, unquote, has become a badge of honor, as if reaching agreement with Christ haters is somehow a noble action. There is nothing as rare as moral courage, the willingness to stand up in the midst of cowardly compromisers and declare something to be right or wrong. Clearly articulated lines in the sand make cowards uncomfortable. It exposes their weakness. Our Christian leaders no longer trumpet faith. The sissified, womanly men standing in America's pulpits today bear no resemblance to the courageous men of God who built this nation. It was the black-robed regiment of the 18th century that turned the tide in America's battle for independence. They did not hide behind their 501c3 government stamp of approval, and they did not bow their knee to the latest edict of some government health expert.
Especially a transgender.
Strong, uncompromising men of God forged this nation. Compromised, weak-kneed men of God are about to surrender it.
That's a mic drop.
Barry Goldwater uttered this in his run for the presidency in 1964.
Listen to this, folks. This is what Barry Goldwater said in 1964.
Mark my word. If and when these preachers get control of the Republican Party, and they're sure trying to do so, it's going to be a terrible damn problem. Frankly, these people frighten me. Politics and governing demand compromise, but these Christians believe they are acting in the name of God, so they can't and won't compromise. I know. I've tried to deal with them. Unquote.
Boy.
My, how things have changed. Compromise is kryptonite to the advancement of the gospel. No wonder everyone is tugging on Superman's cape. Look around. Christians are the softest target in all the world. Everything the Bible teaches is under assault, and anyone who stands and fights for the truth is labeled a bigot. Truth has become hateful, and those who stand and defend it are kicked to the curb. Girls are manning up, and the men are sitting down. What a sad, we are a sad reflection of the Christ we claim to serve. When will Christians wake the hell up? I remember in days long ago of a common reference to the American spirit. What happened to it? Where did it go? How did Christian men become so soft? Pornography and masturbation have sucked the life right out of the once brave American Christian male. Talk of pornography makes folks uncomfortable, but there is nothing that draws the strength and courage out of a man more than sitting in front of a computer fantasizing about another man's naked daughter. It shames any decent man. It sucks the life out of him. No amount of porn will make a man feel like a man. The American church is ravaged by porn. Sitting in the dark and gazing at a screen does not build manhood. It saps the life out of a man. It destroys his soul. It hinders his courage. It does the same thing a fooler does to a suckling child. It pacifies him, just like a whiskey bottle. Every time you put it to your mouth, you think you suck out of it, but it sucks out of you. For those of you who have stayed with me this far, a word of encouragement. You can overcome your fears. You can open your mouth and speak. You can stand up and be counted. And we must. A sissified, complacent, pacified Christianity will not deliver the day. Courageous pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, "Sometimes we just need a firm kick in the pants, an unsmiling expectation that if we mean all these wonderful things we talk about and sing about, then let's see something to prove it." Which brings me back to fear. Fear is the devil's greatest weapon. It has killed more dreams than low expectations. More human beings are controlled by fear. Natural fear is a gift from God, an alert system to fight for survival. But the Bible tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Unnatural, abnormal fear does not come from God. When Adam and Eve munched on the apple, the first thing that showed up was fear. Check it out. None of us know where and when this old world is going to end, but we can rest assured that death will visit us all. No amount of masking, social distancing, or isolation can extend your life beyond the time the Lord has given you. We are least Christ-like when we cower in fear. Faith and fear are mutually exclusive. Neither one can live in the presence of the other. It is impossible for faith and fear to simultaneously live in the same heart. We all must make a choice. Which one will we serve, faith or fear? Fear not is one of the most common phrases you will find in the Bible. Whatever you are afraid of did not come from God. Face your fear. Do the hard thing. What else are you going to let fear steal from you? For God's sake, Christian, man up. It is time to either get busy living or get busy dying. Choose you this day.
Fear, man. Fear. Fear. Fear is a great motivator if we use it in the proper direction. And I want to just go back and focus on something. I'm sorry to keep hammering on it. But somebody's got to say it. Hey, folks, you got to guard your eyes. You got to guard your eyes. And every time you walk into that dark room and you flip on that computer, you deny the power of the Holy Spirit. You deny it. The power of the Holy Spirit, when you do not do what you know you should do, you, at that moment, listen to me, God's dead. If you're serving fear, if you're being motivated by what others might think, or you're worried about what's going to happen to you, you're not serving the Lord. You have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you live, but not you. Christ lives in you. And the life that you now live, it's the life of Christ. Do you understand that? Do we all understand that? What is fear? What is it really? Why is it so powerful? I was listening yesterday. Stephanie, are you in there? I asked Stephanie to be. She didn't get back to me. Are you there, Stephanie? I don't know if she is. I listened to her. Hey, Stephanie, just do real quickly here. I don't know what it is. Do we fear death? What is it we fear? What are we afraid of? Folks, hang on, Steph. Folks, listen. You, all of us, me, I, we are losing spiritual power through our daily habits. I'm going to say it again. We're losing spiritual power through our daily habits. And every one of you, as you testified this morning, Betty went and cleaned out her closet and she was empowered when she did it. She felt a power afterwards, not because her closet was clean, but because she conquered something that's been bugging her for weeks and weeks and maybe months and months and months. She conquered that spirit, whatever that thing was. And this goes on and on and on. So I had Stephanie come in because I was listening to her yesterday. Stephanie, I want you to talk about Stephanie. She's come out of the occult. She calls it white magic, whatever. Stephanie, talk about the power, the energy of fear. If you can, could you talk a little bit about that, Stephanie?
Of fear. Morning, everybody. Fear literally taints everything. If you can kind of imagine, like, you're having a great day and you all of a sudden have a thought, you know, something at home, you know, that little seed in your head, it like taints your whole day. It's like having a big, beautiful pool of water and then you add a drop of fear and that's black ink and it just kind of like spreads and taints the whole pool. And it literally taints everything. Your thoughts change. You know, it changes everything and it weakens you and it literally consumes you. And again, it's a war in the mind. So if you don't pay attention in your thoughts are very easily just the way that we are with the things that we see and the things that we hear. It is very easy to manipulate us. We get afraid right away. Everything changes.
And the dark side loves to shoot fear at people, right, Steph? Am I wrong on that?
Number one thing, it's the easiest thing to do, and it's the most personal thing to do because we all have fear. I don't care how strong you are, we all have some kind of fear of something. And so they thrive on it. All it takes is a little crack, you know, fear something, and then work on that, wiggle into that like a sick worm, crack that open, find out more fear, and dump it all in.
Wow. Listen, Stephanie, I'm going to get Reggie in here because I know Reggie can add something to this.
Please.
As well.
Yes.
Hang on a second, folks. Listen. Okay. Thank you, Steph. I mean, I know that you could go on and on and on. Folks, I've said this to you before. Remember this. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you repeat what you've heard the devil say, you empower the devil, folks. You give the devil power over you. That's why the word says to take captive every thought. Don't let the thought become your words. Don't let an idle thought become your word, right? Don't let that happen, right? Don't let that happen. That's what, because there's power in that spoken word. Come on in, Reggie.
Good morning. I'm thinking of all these things, but one of the things I was going to tell you a story about how I stood up to as a police officer alone against the Freemasons. But fear also, if you want the power of it, I want to emphasize how powerful it is and how it's utilized in the Luciferian system. And the reason I say that is because I know people out there have heard of these programmings that they do, or SRA, Satanically Ritually Abused Children. Fear is the absolute 100% core of that. They fracture their minds through fear and torture. They control people, and they've learned to succeed at this. They're epic at it. So fear, I teach my children the Band-Aid method, the Band-Aid theory. I've had a lot of fear in my life, but I overcome it immediately because I say, just rip it off like a Band-Aid and just do what you got to do. Stand what you got to stand. Say what you got to say. It hurts for a second, but once you step in the direction of overcoming that fear immediately, something, I believe it's the Spirit of God, comes into you, and then you can't believe the next things you're doing. You're like, I'm doing this. And then you have even more encouragement from the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, yesterday I lost a job. A really good job. I had it. I went to the interview. Mel was here with me that morning, and I said, I got to go to this interview. An amazing paying job for this area. He wanted to give it to me. And I lost it because I refused to wear a mask. Everybody was gasping. Oh my gosh, you're not wearing a mask. He said, where's your mask? And I said, I don't wear it. He's a doctor. I told him. And I lost that job, and I walked away sad, but you have to lose things in order to, you have to die to oneself in order to gain.
Yeah, you didn't lose anything.
Amen.
You didn't lose anything. You didn't lose anything, Reggie.
I know.
Boy, I've hit a hot spot. I got a lot of people. Go ahead, Mark. I'm sorry. I walked on you.
What boldness. I'm just, amen. That's all.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, folks, listen. We got to stop compromising on the Spirit of God, okay? We got to stop compromising. And so Reggie walks in there. I'm just using this as an example. I can probably imagine the battleground's in the mind, right? She walks in, and she's probably wondering, are they going to ask me about masks? My wife does that all the time. Like today, Michelle's going to go meet with some of you in the queue. Michelle's going to go have lunch with some people in the queue. And she wanted to go to this place, this really nice little place that she likes up near there. And you know what she said to me yesterday? She said, do you think they'll make me wear a mask? There came that spirit of fear. See, folks, listen to me. That's what TV does. That's TV's number one job. Their number one job is to put on TV, this guy was arrested for this, and this guy was arrested for this, and this guy was arrested for this, to keep you in line through fear that if you get out of line, they're going to come and get you. That's that whole programming thing. So I said to Michelle, we'll pick up the phone and call them. Pick up the phone and call them. And she picked up the phone. I don't know if she called them. She called somebody up and said, oh, no, they don't require masks. You can go there. And boom, that spirit left her. Right? You understand? Face your fear, overcome your fear. Man, oh man, I could go on and on and on and on. Fear is crippling the church. And I'm going to say this too. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. No, I won't say it. I'm going to run right down the list. Randy, Penny, Neil, go.
Coach, I think I'm not trying to take this a different direction. I'm trying to add to what you're doing here.
What?
I think there's a connection, Coach. John writes in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Okay, what I think he's trying to connect for us is that when we take God's spirit, his word, and it is in our agenda, and we've already laid down our life, Coach, when we're, then we don't go into this with me. We go into it with, Lord, you, I want to please you. And because of that, Coach, it isn't, we're not relying on, we're not afraid of confrontation. We're bold. We have everything we need to fight that lie. And when we don't have that with us, we have to protect ourselves, and we're afraid, Coach, of being beat or put down or persecuted or reproached or whatever. And we're fearful. So Coach, it starts at home. I'm just saying, we all need the Holy Spirit to do a work in our heart. And when that happens, Coach, I'm telling you, when we walk out in the public, when the mask is an issue, when anything's an issue, we stand right up because we're not fearful of us being defeated.
That's right.
Because we've already won. We've already won it.
Christ ain't no coward, man. He lives inside of me. Good word, Randy. Penny, perfect then Neil, love. Then Bobby. Perfect love. Penny, Neil, then Bobby. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Coach. So last week you challenged a lot of us in our sins, and I've had this sin of gluttony since I can remember. And this really, this challenge really spoke to me personally, because I've given myself every excuse to wallow in my sin. Mm. And I'm always afraid to tell people that I'm on a quote unquote diet, or I'm trying to overcome this sin of gluttony because of fear. I'm afraid I already defeat myself before I even start.
Amen.
I'm afraid that, I'm going to fail.
Ah, fear of failure, huh, Penny? Come on.
Exactly. And so when Randy was saying, you know, I need to know that I need to learn to please God and not myself. Not the perfect love casts out fear, right?
Right, so right.
If I love God, I will believe in his word.
Amen.
And his word is true. So being afraid of failure and afraid to tell people that I was fasting I was trying to overcome gluttony. I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget what to say. So I left myself an open door for failure. It was like, okay, this is an open door. So if I fail, I'm not, you know, nobody's going to know about it. So it's okay.
Yeah,
you know?
Right, right, right.
So here I'm, you know, 40 years into gluttony and giving myself an open door all the time just to fail. So praise this time God. I have told everybody. So I have no open door anymore.
Amen.
I'm live on air. So this is really scary.
Okay, so Penny, here's what you need to do. Folks, you're listening to me out there. Listen to me now. Write it on your calendar. Hey, Penny, step on. You've already started. But anybody out there, write it on your calendar. Today, I weighed 219. I write it every day on my calendar so that when I get discouraged, I say, wow, I lost 8 pounds. I lost 8 pounds. I can continue to do this. You understand? Folks, write it down. It's a motivator because it will help you climb over that next step. Because when you do, you look back and you say, golly, I remember I wanted to eat right there and I didn't. I didn't. Remember that? I turned down that piece of cake. Well, look, it showed up here. I lost. Put it down as evidence because your mind will play tricks on you, Penny. Put it down. Set a goal. Strive towards it.
Yes, I've also learned through that 3-day fast that, you know, I would open the refrigerator so many times during the day. And I realized I was opening the refrigerator more times than I was opening the Word of God.
Yeah, so, and you wonder why you're eating that. I'm eating the wrong medicine.
I was feeding my sin of gluttony and not feeding my soul the Word of God.
Okay, so
amen.
Penny.
Amen. Hey,
some of you out there, I want some of you to hold up Penny's arms. I want you to daily pray for Penny for victory on this. She's in the middle of this thing, and she's going to get victory over it. She needs just some of you just keep lifting up her arms. Hey, Penny, You're going to do it, man. You've testified to the world now. You talk about fear. Hey, Penny, what if I checked in with you every day live? Hey, Penny, how you doing today? Hey,
hold
how about
me accountable?
That's right. That's the same thing with pornography, right? What if I said, hey, how you doing with porn today? You looking at porn today? Hey, Larry, you looking at porn today? What if I did that every day, right? We can't win these fights alone, friends. See, pride keeps us from sharing these sins with others. Pride does. And pride and fear drives us underground. That's why we get caught in traps. Bless you, Penny. Come on in, Neil, then Bobby, then Larry. Man, I got a bunch of everyone in here. Go ahead.
I'm sure many people listening to this can relate to this, but I was a volunteer fireman for 17 years in my younger days. And you'd pull up to a burning building, and you know you had to go inside, so you were fearful. But once you got there and you knew you had to go inside, you thought about the tools that you had. Well, I got this charged line. I've got a partner behind me. We've got beepers on our air packs. I have this air pack to keep me breathing. And that's the same thing with our faith. And when we start to doubt our faith or fear, then we reach out to people who are like-minded. That's why the encouragement is so hard, or so critical, that we need to encourage each other, that we need to know that we have these tools in our walk with Christ.
Amen.
So we can get past that point of fear or doubt or whatever. So I think the tools and the people we surround us with are the most critical things to overcome fear.
So Neil, the Bible talks about the prayer of agreement, the power of agreement. Hey folks, a lot of you are agreeing with the devil. In fact, a lot of you are agreeing with negative people about the condition that you see. That's why some of you guys would know who I'm talking about, or others that I'm talking about, when we talk about fear porn. I ain't going to gather in it, man. I don't care. I don't care if the FBI has my house surrounded. I'm going to believe for a way of escape. I refuse to agree with fear. I refuse to do it. I refuse to do it, right? Now, that doesn't mean it's not a battle. Hey, fear comes on me like it comes on with everybody else. But fear ain't my twin brother, and I refuse to agree with it. Come on in. Let's go Larry, then Tony. Bobby, I forgot Bobby. I'm sorry. Bobby, Larry, Tony. Go, Bobby.
I just want to add on to what Reggie said. Yeah, last August, I lost a job because I refused to wear a mask, and it turned into a negative exchange. We've been in training for this past year. That's what we're doing now. This whole mask thing is training. And I've said before, if you're not willing to draw the line here at this mask, we'll never draw the line at anything else.
And
the next point I want to make is back to the food thing. I'm eating one meal a day in the evening now, supplemented by celery, raw eggs, those sorts of things. And I'm never hungry. You know, I'm giving my body what it needs with the one meal in the evening. And I'm training like a villain every day again. All right. And I don't really care how old we are or what age we're at or what level we're at. We need to have a training mindset. I don't care if you're 80. I don't care if you're 20. We have to learn new skills. And we have to push ourselves back away from this computer and get physical in those things that we're capable of doing.
Hey, Bobby, I trained one way when I was 28. I trained another way when I'm 38. And I got to figure out a new way to train now that I'm 68. I just can't stop because I've gotten older. Larry, come in, then Tony, then Joe.
Okay, yeah. Hey, I got 4 points I want to touch on here. Number one is God told us to choose. Therefore, he gave us the opportunity and the power to make choices.
Amen.
Now, we can choose to allow fear to either motivate us or mutilate us. One of the two. Amen. We have the opportunity and the power to make that choice. Now, you mentioned about praying for Penny, et cetera, et cetera. That is great, Coach, that you encourage us to do that. But if we prayed the way Jesus taught us to, we would already be praying for each other each and every time we prayed for situations we have no idea about, but God does. When we pray we're praying for each other. The important thing you said was pick up that phone and call and encourage or ask a question or something and help each other. Now, praying without the action step behind it is useless. You when you said reach out and contact each other and support and lift up, et cetera, that's the important thing you said that's new, because praying for each other should be automatic and already part of our daily habits. Even when we don't know what we're praying about, we don't know whose we're praying about or why. When we pray for our body, our brothers and sisters in Christ, for his will. We're praying the best results for everybody in this queue and every fellow Christian around the world. And then we can concentrate on what can we do in action to support those prayers that we don't even know about.
Tony, come on in.
Okay, Coach. The reason we struggle with some of these things because we don't deal with the root of it. Like you're talking about gluttony. Well, I'll give myself as an example. When I, the Holy Spirit revealed to me when I was a preteen, I went through a period where I was being picked on, and I made food my friend. Okay? I built a stronghold around food, and that gave demon of gluttony and others to grip me. And so I had to deal with cursing myself. I had to deal with that root. I had to repent for that root.
Amen.
To break it. And we're, and you know, so you're gonna, you know, I'm not against what you're saying, but unless you attack the root of why you're doing what you're doing, you're going to fight it and fight it and fight it and fight it. You're not going to totally conquer it unless you deal with the root.
I agree. Couldn't agree more, Tony. Come on in, Rich. Rich, Rich, Craig, then Rochelle. Go ahead.
I wasn't going to say anything today because I just don't like talking about myself, but yep. I want to encourage Penny because I'm in the same boat she's in, and 3 weeks into what I'm doing, and I'm down now 8 pounds. So
how about that? How about
yeah?
That?
So and it's maybe it's just with a lot of prayer. It's not been a struggle. You know what I mean? It's like I'm beating every day with it. So
that's called grace, brother. That's called grace.
Yeah. So hang in there, Penny, and I will be praying for you specifically.
Amen.
On what you mentioned, and you'll get there. We both will.
Remember this, what goes in your mouth ends up on your waist. I don't ever forget that. Craig, come on then, Rochelle.
Coach, I was just going to read 5 verses here from Exodus 17:20. You'll remember this.
Exodus 17. Let us get up on the screen here.
17:8-13.
8-13, Exodus 17:8-13.
Do you want me to read it?
Go ahead, Craig.
Okay, this is when they're getting ready to fight this king called Amalek as they're leaving. Now, Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill and the rod of God in my hand." So Amen. Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and went up to the top of the hill. And it was so when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let it down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Then Aaron and supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other side, and his hands were steady until going down to the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So the takeaway is even Moses needed help from his
brothers. Hold up each other's arms, right? Hold up each other's arms. Great word, Craig. Rochelle, come on in.
Wow, me and Craig are both looking for Bible this morning. Guys, you're all doing good. Just addressing that there's stuff you need to work on is the first step. I'm reading out of Deuteronomy, but it's just a quick verse. You don't have to put it up, but it's Deuteronomy 12, 2 and 3. When you drive out the nations that live there, you must destroy all the places where they worship their gods, high on the mountains, up on the hills, under every green tree, break down their altars, smash their sacred pillars, burn their Ashtoreth poles, cut down their carved idols, erase the names of their gods from these places.
Wow.
Bad habits deserve no mercy. Once you identify the sin in your life, attack with everything you've got and ask for prayer, ask for God's help, ask to be held accountable. All you guys are doing the right thing. This is Amazing. Keep it
yes,
up.
Yes, ma'am. Spiritual strength is coming, folks. Now, look, I want you to see something here real quickly. This is a great verse, by the way, Rochelle. Have you guys noticed that that's what the enemy's doing to everything righteous in America? Have you noticed this? Huh? That the devil's using biblical principles. Come on in, David Arthur.
Good morning. Hey, you know, I was thinking about, I read your article this morning. You talk about pornography, and then I'm listening to everyone. We're talking about the spirit of fear because it is a spirit. Scripture says so, right? It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling that we get. It's a spirit, and it's okay for that spirit to overcome us as long as we're prepared to overcome that spirit. But the reason a lot of men especially won't stand up against immorality is because they're engaging in immoral acts, which takes us back to God saying, my people must forsake their wicked ways. My people must turn from their wickedness. And so that's really what it comes down to, is that men of God, you need to turn from your wickedness, forsake your wicked ways, because an immoral man cannot stand up against immorality.
David, the Holy Spirit won't come because of the wickedness that you are in bed with, folks.
That's right.
See, porn just isn't about pleasure. Folks, it's a weapon of the enemy. He is sucking the energy right out of you. And you know,
Coach, it was Judith Reisman.
Yeah.
I had her on my show last year, and it was her. She said that to me. And ever since that, I've looked at it and I'm like, it's spot on. That's why men of God don't want to stand up against the LGBT movement, or now what's coming in, the pedophile movement. They don't want to stand up against that because of their own immorality that they're doing. Now, you can delete the history on your computer, but the one who knows what you were doing is the only one that counts.
Hey, David, what if we just look at it as two power flows, right? You have the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit flow into you, or you have the opportunity of the devil to flow in you. Every Amen. Time you flick on that porn, one of those two things is happening, boys and girls.
Amen.
If
you That's think it.
The blessing of God's going to come when you invite him into porn, you, hey, dude, come on, man. You know better than that. Joe Allen. Thanks, David. Come on in, Joseph.
Coach, you touched on a subject that is near to my heart. God did not create fear. Man does. So I ain't scared of no man. When you have, and I teach these of my boys why they're so successful now, is you got to conquer fear.
You do.
If you can't, it's going to ruin your life.
It'll control every Amen, aspect everybody. Of your life if you let it. It will, every aspect. Ken, Penny, your hand's still up, sweetheart. Do you want to come back in? Or did you just not take your hand down?
I forgot to take it down. Okay. Sorry.
Hey, Penny, we're proud of you, man. We're proud of you, folks. Listen, understand this. Listen. Find somebody you can tell to, all right? Bible says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Now listen. And love not their own life, even to the point of death. No. Folks, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but the hardest part of it is your testimony. Is to tell somebody, hey, Coach, you know something? I'm struggling with that porn beast, man. I'm struggling with it. And I can tell you right now, if you're struggling with that porn beast and you called me or you called David Arthur, you called Jeff Klein, you called Larry, and you told them, they ain't going to be shocked. They're not going to say, what? Are you kidding me? They're not. They're going to understand that every man's battle. In fact, there's a book out there written called Every Young Man's Battle. Can you imagine being 12? Think back to when you were 12 or 13 or 14, and that those hormones started flowing for the first time. Back in 19, I remember when I looked at my first Playboy magazine, something hit me like anybody out there know what I'm talking about? When I first laid my eyes on that thing, wow, right? And that hunger and that urge to feed that flesh, man, that beast never leaves. Unless you stand up against it, demand it to leave. So I would say this, there's 99 people in here. Let's say 60% of them are men. I'd say if there's 66 men in here, 66 men struggle with porn. That's what I would say. And one of the things the devil wants you to believe is you're the only guy doing it. If you got a computer, you're struggling with porn. And if you're not, you're lying. You're lying. If we want the power of God, we got to get victory over it, boys. We got to quit hiding it. We got to talk about it. We got to hold each other accountable and stop. You got to guard your eyes. Real quickly, Paul, come on in.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, it's like the Bible says, take up your cross daily. It's a daily battle.
It is.
Every day is a new day. You go forward in victory. You know, I think what's happened so much is that people have done this, churches have like this one-time prayer without realizing that it takes commitment after that to continue in the process. And because it's a daily battle.
Hey, Paul.
I know I'm alone life. It's a daily battle. You've just got every day be committed to, no, I'm not going there. You know?
The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you say you can't get victory over that, you're making God a liar. Turn off the porn. Shut the refrigerator. Get some victory today. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.